last week, and trying to use different things to set our hearts in preparation for hearing the Word of God. As Brandon read our text for this morning out of Ezekiel chapter 37, we've entitled this message, Come Alive. So, as you know, in the book of Ezekiel, many times visions, some that are physical and actual, and others that are spiritual. And it's kind of like in the book of Revelation, as we've been studying, that when it says these are symbols. There were some Ezekiel was told to lay on his side for like half a year. Okay, that was a physical thing that he did so that the people could see it. He was told to bake his bread over dung. That was a physical thing so people could see it. Then there were other things, such as we see in chapters 3 and chapters 8 of Ezekiel, where the Spirit of the Lord led him somewhere. It was a vision for him to see. And so these things aren't necessarily a physical, tangible thing, but yet a spiritual idea for us to gather and to hear from. And so he uses very physical things, but yet it's in a very spiritual sense. The valley of dry bones. And as we know of the idea of the bones and coming together and with the sinews as was read earlier and then put skin on it. And sometimes I feel that the Lord looks down at us and he sees that church, and we may be here in bodily form, but we're lacking something. We're lacking the breath of God. We're lacking his Spirit. And we may be here and we may be filling in a pew or sitting in the chair there and paying attention, but that's all the farther that it goes, then we are nothing more than dry bones. And I appreciated how Brandon shared this morning, even in that, as he read, that this was for letting the Jewish people know that, hey, if you don't want to obey, I've got other people that will. And as he said, that this is a cry out to the Gentile nations as well. The Jews looked at them as ones that were dead, that were of no good. And the Lord says, just wait, I'll show you. But don't get all caught up in that he had the... Jesus said that even if we fail to do what we should do, that he'll raise up stones that will worship and praise him. God will get his due. God will get his praise. Wouldn't it be great if we could just do our best to live our life to share in a blessing for him while we still can? In Ezekiel chapter 37, he is told to go out, or he's led out into the valley. The Hebrew word there actually is plain, which the word plain means just a low area between a couple mountains or hills. This is where we read of the valley of dry bones. The dry bones, the dried out spirit of God's chosen people. And this is a reminder for us today as being God's chosen people, according to that of the prophetic seed of Abraham, that Jesus is the one that will breathe life into us. We may do our best to put on the bones, put on the sinews and the muscles and all the organs and the flesh, but we are nothing more than dead men walking until we have the breath of Jesus Christ living in us. There's three things we want to share with you this morning as we get ready to go through this passage, and I had him stop. Really, the whole text of this lesson goes through verse 14, but I had him stop at the verse 10 there when it finishes up, and that's going to be our thrust for today, is that the Lord wants to desire, or the Lord desires for us to become a spiritual army for Him. Not ones that just sit around, occasionally chime in with our opinion. He wants for us to be actively working for His kingdom. And that's where I encourage you this morning, that if you're here now, here is the time you can move. You can consciously make that decision to go from being in a valley of dry bones to being a living, breathing, functioning part of the Lord's church. The first thing that needs to happen, and as God shares this with Ezekiel, it all starts with the Word of God. It all starts with the Word of the Lord. The bones are symbolizing the children of Israel at this time. And as we said, those to come, the children of God, that we see that there is no longer any love for God in them. Why? Because they're dead. They're dead. And as we look at this, again, this is, and what I want for us to understand that Ezekiel's trying to have shared to him and him sharing to us, is that we're not just talking about laying in the cemetery over there. We're talking about spiritual dead. And you may be, as we said, walking around and going from place to place, but you are spiritually dead. And yet we think we've got it going on because we're a child of Christ, or of God through Jesus Christ. And so we need to be very, very careful that our love does not wane, that it does not, that we, our life does not grieve the Holy Spirit. And the Lord knows, and He tells Ezekiel, what my people need. And I'll tell you this, whether you've been a Christian for a month or two, or you've been a Christian for 25 years, or you've been a Christian for 125 years, you need the Word of God. That is where we are going to find our direction. That's where we are going to find our purpose in life. And so God continues and has His messenger continue to prophesy, to teach, to preach, and to proclaim His message. And I love the portion there, and it's almost, and this is where I think at times we get to see the humor of God, and He's like, you know, do you think this can happen? And Ezekiel plays it smart, like John does, and it says, well, you know, you know if it can happen, because, you know, it's like, you know if it can be done. And the Lord knows how it can be done. And He gives us the prescription for how this are that we can come alive. And it's through hearing the Word. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of God, or the words of Christ. This again reflects back to the patience of our Lord. How is that? Because there's probably not a one of you here that haven't heard the gospel plan of salvation more than once in your life. And yet we still have a handful or more that have never been obedient to it. And so God says, I'm going to try to bring them back to me. Again, one step at a time. Notice He did not, in the vision, throw the skin over top of a pile of bones. It was all done in a specific order, with a specific pattern in mind, so that they would be ready to receive His breath. The dry bones come together. Basically got a valley full of skeletons all walking around or standing there. Then the sinews comes. That's all the stuff that sometimes when you're looking at the anatomy books and you're seeing all the veins and the tissues and the muscles and all the joints and the ligaments and everything that's holding all of those things together. He then puts that on, then wraps it in skin. And what the Lord is saying is, spiritually speaking, that doesn't get it done. That doesn't get it done. But one step at a time, he's trying to bring them back to life. And so how does that happen? So faith, as we said, comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ. And if you back up just a few verses there, it says how this is going to happen. You may not like it, right? As much and how great. And I appreciate the songs that have been shared. It does not say that faith comes by hearing music and sharing in song. It comes through God's Word. And how do we get that? Romans 10:14. How will they call on Him who they have not believed? How will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And without the life-giving Word of God's Word, we're nothing more than just dry bones rattling around. The gathering of each bone builds an individual. There was this valley of dry bones, this collective heap of a mess. And even as they put them back together one by one and each piece into their proper place and into their original state, they are still nothing until then they start breathing the breath of life back into them, which comes from the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And slide down to verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is that life-giving Word that we need in our life. And yet, we would think that that message, just as it was said, as Jesus talks about the rich man and Lazarus, if they did not believe Moses and they did not believe the prophets, there will be those that do not believe, even if one arises from the dead. And this is what Ezekiel's sharing with them, you know, from a spiritual aspect. These dry bones that rise from the dead. And there still will be people that won't believe. Even if our Savior that was nailed to the cross for your sins and for mine and conquers the grave and comes back and appears unto men for 40 days, there will still be those that don't believe. How sad a state that is to be in. But yet it is true. And the Lord knows that if we are going to start anywhere, you want to start talking to your neighbor about the Lord, then you start with His Word. You want to talk to a lost family member? Start with the Word. It's the only thing that's going to lead them to salvation. It's the only thing that's going to give them the breath that they need to put back into their dry bones. So not only do we need to hear the Word, but we need to understand and try to articulate in such a way that life comes through the Word or comes through the Lord. I know people that read their Bible every day. And that's good. But until you take those words and apply them and make them applicable in your own life, it's no different than reading the newspaper. I know. What's a newspaper? It's no different than reading Facebook. So life comes from the Word. And since the message of life is carried out in our obedience to Christ, this clearly and evidently expressed to us that those that read, that study, that diligently engage themselves in His Word will pass from death to life. John chapter 5, verses 24 and 25 share this same thought as Jesus talks to us. Truly, truly, this is like saying honestly, right? Honestly, verily, verily, listen up here. I say to you, he who hears my word and believes who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. And Jesus is saying this 2,000 years ago, and I'm saying it today, not of my own will, of God's word, that you may be sitting here this morning in a spiritual grave, in a spiritual tomb. In other words, you're dead. You're outside of Christ. But yet the Word of God and the gospel message in believing who Jesus is and who is the one that sent Him will take him from one step to the next into eternal life. Once again, the Word, the prophesying, the preaching, the teaching of the Bible is not optional to salvation and to growth. Did you hear that? The Word, that means that Bible that you've got in front of you, or maybe that Bible that you left at home on the shelf, or maybe that Bible that you have on your notepad or your phone, that Word, the prophesying of that, the preaching, the teaching of the Bible is not optional to salvation and to growth. And so if we do not get into the Word, I can pretty confidently say you are spiritually dead. We cannot, absolutely cannot go through our life separating ourselves from the Word of God and claim to be alive in Christ. For they are two and the same. As we said, the Bible is not optional to salvation and growth. However, it is a paramount necessity. The message of the gospel takes us from spiritual death into spiritual life. John 5:8-28, just a few verses down from when Jesus had just said that we read, he says, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice." Those that are spiritually dead, he's given the opportunity for you to reassemble your bones, reattach the sinews, to have your body covered again in flesh so that you may receive and put into work the breath of Jesus Christ. The spiritually dead man is buried and he arises to a new life. That is exactly what we do when we share in the time of immersion into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This new life is one of repentance, of restoration, and of reconciliation. In essence, we leave the old dry bones of self, of worldliness, of denominationalism behind us. Not to go back, not to pick those things back up and bring them into the church, to leave them out, to separate ourselves from the world. We are called to be separate. We are called to be different. We are called to be holy. We are called to be living not only in this physical life, but especially in this spiritual one as well. We need to understand that life comes from the Lord and through His Word. And why that is, as we said at the end of the text that Brandon finished reading, was because the Lord wants to build a spiritual army. A spiritual army. An army of Christians is what the world needs. And again, this is in the spiritual sense, not in the physical sense. He don't want you as a Christian thinking which grenade you can throw on what neighbor. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. An army of Christians is what the world needs. A spiritual army of Christ-like warriors is what turned the world upside down at one point, and it needs to again, and it can still happen. But it's going to take us. It's going to take you. It's going to take me. Romans 8:11 says, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you," so how do we get the Spirit in us? Again, we shared that already. You've got to say goodbye to the dead man. You're buried, and you arise to walk in the new life, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." And this is talking about the resurrection. And we will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. How that'll happen, what'll actually take place, I don't know, and nobody else actually does, because it's never happened to them yet. But when those trumpets sound and the Lord returns, there's going to be things happen that nobody ever thought would. There's going to be people praising Him that you never thought you would see. But He tells us that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. So it's going to happen. There's going to be things happening that'll just blow you away. You may be standing in line for judgment next to somebody that says, "Well, that's funny. I didn't know you were a Christian. You never said anything to me about it." Or hopefully you're standing next to somebody that says, "Thank you for telling me about Jesus." We receive the Holy Spirit not by a feeling, not by a shiver in our liver, not by reciting some prayer. One receives the gift of the Holy Spirit in faith by being immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And I'm not so sure. I just can't. The older I get, the more confused I get. How do people mess this up? It's got to be willful ignorance. Because there's some that are mistaught, but when you're shown what the Bible says, you've got to choose to believe what's wrong. Why people struggle with direct Bible explanation of things. But if you do, here you go, and this is what I believe, because it comes from the Bible. Titus 3, 5, and 6 says, "He saved us, not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy." Thank God for the mercy that He bestows on us. "By the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit." Now, there's nothing special in the water, but there's something special in the obedience of what Jesus Christ has asked us to do. The washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit. And if you're have fallen apart and you're a valley of dry bones and the sinews is off of you, that's because you've not let the Spirit work in your life. The renewing, I believe that is a constant thing that takes place in our life. I don't know if it's every day or if it's every minute, but I believe that it continues to happen in our lives. The renewing of the Holy Spirit, unless we quench it. whom he poured out upon us richly. Only one way, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Renewed and regenerated. Not anything more, but just simply what the Bible reads. Our dead bones come alive. And most importantly, so does our spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:45. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. That's what we all are here today. But it goes on and says, the last Adam, which is Christ, became a life-giving spirit. We'll close with this. All people exist, but not all people truly live. I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you today, will you please come alive in Jesus Christ? If you're here and you're outside of Jesus Christ, there's a plan of salvation that is biblical, that we do our best to follow, and it starts with a belief in Him. It says that you must believe who I am, must believe in Him, that He is the Son of God, that He's the Savior of the world, that He's not just a good guy, that He's not just a prophet, that He's not just something special for the time 2,000 years ago, but He is the great I am. And because we believe that, we are willing to repent of our sins, realizing that the perfect Lamb of God, the Son of God, the Son of the living God, gave His life upon the cross for you and for me. And then we're willing to confess Him, which I believe we do that as we are immersed into Jesus Christ, but I believe we do that on a daily basis by the way we live our life. We confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But leading all up to that, then that takes us to the point where we deny self, where self is crucified, buried with Him, and arise to walk in a new life. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. He that believeth not will be condemned. People say, well, it doesn't say anything about not being baptized. If you don't believe, why would you be immersed? Then be obedient. He's put us all back together. Our life that's fallen apart. He's taken our bones. He's put them all in the proper order. Sinews. All those needing knee replacements and hip replacements. Forget about that. You got something better. Right? Skin, and Christ breathes into us the word of life. Not so we can just be mobile here on this earth, but so that we'll be effective for Him throughout all eternity. We love you. We want for you to be obedient. You can begin that walk today. Arise from the dust, the old bones. Be a new creation in Jesus Christ. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation?